This is RSB in the Update, episode 320, recorded Saturday, August 6th, 2011. We touch all the things. Hello, everybody. This is an episode of RSB and the Update. That's a little bit behind schedule, but I think it's going to be well worth it. It was well worth it, actually, for just the pre-show, which you guys missed, unfortunately, but you'll hear at some point in the future, I'd imagine, because, you know, it's always fun in the pre-show when somebody posts a link and it goes into a whole spiel of other things, so... Anyways, with us this week, we have Chief Snake starting furthest away from me.
Ray.
And Paulina, Mr. K, who is second furthest away from me.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Aw. Really?
And closest to me is King Kulla, who is just below and to the left of me, geographically on a map.
I have mixed up. It's all right.
East is west, north and south. War is peace.
That would be bad. Actually, it'd be good right now, but bad in general. Never mind. Carry on.
So, you know, this week was a quiet week. I was kind of anticipating we'd have something to actually talk about, but we don't. We just have a behind-the-scenes article to talk about for August, so I don't...
Which is good, because then we'd probably just naturally have more to talk about.
Yes.
No, because none of us actually play RuneScape.
This is true.
Yeah, you know, ever since I got back, I've only logged in once.
It's the way
you're not
it goes.
Supposed to tell everyone that, Shane. We're allowed to, but you're like the figurehead here.
Oh, yes. But I'll get back into it. I plan to get back into it tonight and start worshipping my ashes.
To someone who doesn't know what that means, that sounds incredibly creepy.
I don't even know what that means, and I kind of don't want to go there. But, yeah.
I don't think I even want to ask about that. Chief, have you heard anything about that?
No.
Okay. Well, behind the scenes, then.
Okay.
I don't think so. Behind the scenes, first up, new Grand Exchange. So you're going to be redoing the Grand Exchange area, updating the layout of it, split into four booths rather than one central building, spreading the demand out, making the area a pleasure rather than a chore.
It's about time, isn't it?
Just yep, the central area.
I don't really find it a chore. I mean, when you compare it to how it used to be, World 2 Falador or something, I mean, that was a chore.
Yeah. That is a good point. Our World 1 Varrock, that was pretty crazy as well.
They
say the central area will be a place to meet, chat, and even shout about the wares you're trying to sell. They're also reworking the main entrance points to the area, and they're adding new trees, including the spirit tree, to support the environment. And they've posted pictures. I haven't seen any on Twitter, but I know they're actively posting the pictures on their Facebook page, and, you know, it looks decent.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
You know, the Grand Exchange is the Grand Exchange. Like, you don't even need a big place for it. You could just put a little kiosk in every bank, you know, and spread it out, and you wouldn't need this area. But, you know, I'm guessing what they're trying to do, they're going to want to do with this is... make it so that you actually can go there, you know, and treat it as if it was a place where you can sell stuff.
Yeah.
Like a market.
Exactly. So.
Yeah. Be kind of hard. It'll be interesting to see how they actually separate the different areas. Because, I mean, if they want one group that's just talking versus one group that's banking and whatnot, you know, everyone's going to be just going to the banking area anyway. No one's going to just stand out in the congregation area.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to sell stuff to people, you're going to go where the money is, and that's where the bank is. That's why everyone always sells stuff at banks. You never sell something that's far away from a bank. I mean, there's World 2 and World 1, as you were mentioning earlier, but those were designated
still,
trade worlds.
Right,
so,
next to banks as well.
Yeah, even mm-hmm. then, it's right there. You're pretty well known. If you're there, you're going to be trading.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So basically, the first new people that get there right after the update happens, they're going to decide where the trading area is going to happen.
Yeah.
Those first pioneers of trade.
And they're going to be next to a bank. Just watch.
Yeah.
Or they're going to be right next to the teller, rather. Not to the bank
itself.
Well,
there's a picture here, and I see a waterfall. I'm going to always go by the waterfall.
Will you, Shane? I think you'll go where the people are, really.
Yeah.
It's not up to you to decide that.
But when was the last time? Well, you know, maybe it's bad asking this, but when was the last time you actually bought something from a person and not the GE when you guys were, you know, actually playing?
It was a long time ago. I remember dealing with, you know, the GE was fantastic when it came out because you never had to deal with anybody, which was great. You could just log in, do something, go and do whatever the heck you wanted, and all of a sudden you get an update. Whatever you wanted is done. Whereas
that's right.
Before,
it actually made everything heaps more antisocial.
It's more antisocial, but it was a lot more efficient. I mean, I remember trying to get bones for 99 prayer, and it took forever sending a world to Falador just buying bones. It was so boring. I hated trying to log in. And as soon as GE, well, I already had my bones by that point, but since the GE, I never went to World 2. I think I went like once or twice for some random reason because something was selling better, but that was about it. If you can avoid large amounts of people, do it. It'll save you a lot of time.
Yeah, but from the looks of the picture, there's four booths, so maybe they're just going to be spreading it out to whichever booth. Like, it wouldn't make sense to segment it, so I don't think we're going to see that, but I don't know. It's Jagex, and we know Jagex in the past has always made some decisions that don't always make sense, you know. But that's just what we're dealing with here. So, anyways, more on this next week, because we know it's not fair to ridicule updates before they come out. Audio updates, they're going to be updating magic and agility sounds, as well as the atmospheric sounds found within RuneScape. So spell sound effects, elemental sounds, normal spellbook, ancient spellbook. Apparently the agility sounds are going to be featuring real recordings of people traversing agility courses.
What?
Well, real recordings of people traversing agility courses. So maybe they made an agility course in their backyard or something and recorded that?
I'm sure there are actual courses out there, and they just had to team building exercise where they just all went out to this place for the day or whatever.
But there can't be much variety of sounds. Surely it's just, you know.
I foresee a lot of grunting. Just like people falling. Like, that's.
and how do you record walking across a tightrope or a balance beam?
I mean, don't want to fall.
But then, if your character just ends up doing that every time, it's not going to be
It's going to get
annoying. Just the same sort of grunts.
I wonder what they're going to do for the tightrope when you fall in the circus area.
Twang of a rope or something like that.
That'd be kind of cool.
You know,
the string twang is like a little reminder, you fell.
Yeah.
You know, Paul and Chief, I think they should get you guys to come record the sounds. Paul's good at the grunting and Chief's good at the little high-pitched sounds.
High-pitched screaming.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'd do it. Fly me into England for that? Sure.
See, this is a reason why everybody out there, from this point forward, you should turn audio on if you've never turned audio on in the past.
That wouldn't make me switch on. I never played with audio. I started out in the dial-up days, even though you download everything locally anyway, so you'd have it, but I never liked the audio. I'd always like to listen to my own stuff. And I still would think a lot of people do that. Rather than listen
even
to
the sounds?
Yeah, I don't care to hear the ambient sounds.
Recognition of, well, the ambient sounds maybe not, but acknowledgement of what you're doing.
I guess, like, some things were, like, I remember hearing for, like, if you were not AFK, but just not paying attention, you could hear certain things. That's but right. I never really caught on to that. I still would rather listen to my South Park. I remember just watching every single season of South Park at one point while training in RuneScape. But
you know what? I did that as well.
Yeah. Except I watched the reverse order, but at any rate.
Me too. Yes. That was back when I was training combat.
Yeah, exactly. But I know. I really don't think I ever really listened to sounds, and I never liked the higher graphics settings either.
Well, people, don't listen to what Paul's saying.
Opinion suppression time.
It's not a democratic democracy.
Temple Trekking rework.
Yes.
You guys remember Temple Trekking?
Unfortunately,
where you can guide people through the swamp and get rewards.
Don't even remember that, but yeah, sure.
Your partners will become more and more efficient at defending themselves until that moment when you turn around to find a lean, mean, abyssal whip-wielding machine fighting alongside you. That's right. As your partner levels up, they will unlock rewards for both themselves and you. You might even find that they become an adventurer as fearsome as yourself. The AI of your partner has been vastly improved, with your partner eating, trading, hunting foes, and even skilling as if you had taken a real-life friend along with you for the trip. You might even be able to chat with them to get a hint of what's coming around the next corner. Each trek has been streamlined with better interactions, with two new trekkers to help keep the variety high.
Two new trekkies? Uh-oh. Yeah, that it's a good update, considering before, I think the only real useful point was the woodsman outfit,
lumberjack.
Or whatever it's called. Lumberjack outfit.
The lumberjack outfit.
And,
I spent about 9 hours getting that.
Yeah, how mentally handicapped were the NPCs at this point?
They were dumb. They were dumb.
Yeah. I never heard good stories about those, about them at that time. Or up till this point, I guess.
Yeah, and you know the reason they're doing this is because they've got another Myrec quest coming out, so I don't know what number this is. I've lost count. Does anybody know what number this is going to be?
No.
It's going to be called Branches of Darkmire, requiring 76 woodcutting, 70 fletching and magic, 67 slayer, 64 crafting, 63 farming, 63 Agility, Legacy of Sirgaze, and Legends Quest.
Quite high requirements. That's good.
Yeah,
I guess.
That's almost 80 woodcutting, so that is pretty high.
Yeah, there's... looks like it's probably about the 5th now, I think, or 6th.
Okay.
Somewhere
around. That would make sense. Last time we had a Myrec quest, we got the Blood Altar and Blood Runes.
So,
that needed quite high requirements anyway, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, because you had to go through and retraverse that whole mazy area of Mire Ditch, you know? So, overall, this is probably going to be a tedious quest, given what the past one has been and everything.
Yeah.
Also, Edgeville is going to be getting an update, kind of the same way as Drainer Village did. New roofs, trees, and... pretty much just updating it to look more modern. I'm guessing they'll also bring the trees in like they did in Drainer. So.
Well, that'll be cool.
I still remember when Edgeville got its, like, first... It feels like this shouldn't be happening so close together, but that's good. They're, you know, keeping everything
modern.
Yeah,
it's been really a long time. I remember the first graphical update was in August 2006 to the Blue Dragons.
I still remember when you posted something on RuneWire saying that Edgeville felt very claustrophobic now. Or something.
Yeah, that wasn't RuneWire. That was before
that was
RuneWire.
Like, no, that was RuneWire. This was like 2007, though, when RuneWire first came out.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure it was. End of 2007. Yes? Maybe so?
I don't know. I don't remember where stuff got posted then. But
okay, meanwhile, I'm going to find that.
Okay, well, you're
I think it's
that,
good, though,
just...
because Edgeville was one of my favorite places, and I think it's good that they're going to make it look cool. I wonder what kind of theme they're going to go with it, because Drainer, of course, is, you know, kind of Halloweenish and dark and, you know, supposedly scary. So I wonder what they're going to do with Edgeville.
Well, they say trees and runes, so I'd imagine it's going to have a wilderness general kind of feeling to the place. Just because it's the place you go before you go craft runes in the abyss or head out PKing starting at level one. So,
it's kind of like
it's kind of like a crossroads area, though, you know, because you got the river on the eastern side, which is, it's kind of peaceful there, you know. And then you've got the monastery on the west, I believe, and, you know, it's kind of a peaceful area just on the edge of the wilderness, of course, which is why they call it Edgeville. So
the last bit of solace before you head into the wilderness.
Very good.
Yeah. So I wonder if they're going to take the, you know, dark wilderness theme, or if they're going to take the, you know, the solace and what sort of thing with it. So I think it'll be cool to see what they come out with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the last thing is they're going to be adding rewards to some new mini, or to old mini games, giving new rewards to the most hardened players. So, here's a few examples. You're going to be able to get a Tizrek Jad pet that will require 99 summoning, 90 slayer, 100 zeal points, and you will have to hand over a fire cape. Master Runecrafter Rhodes, these will provide a boost to runecrafting XP when worn, and they'll be obtained from the Great Orb Project. New Livid Farm spells, which I'm not too keen on, because as we all know, Livid Farm promotes the wrong way to train farming, including new teleports, access to new patches, and the ability to add non-lunar spells to the lunar spellbook.
That'd be good.
No!
Like, the spellbook is really nice, but, well, just in terms of being able to use that spellbook, like, I never really trained magic too much, but when I was slaying and whatnot, having the ability to get to different places was always kind of high on the priority list. So, but I ended up just sticking with the normal spellbook plus various teleports in my bank. But having the lunar spellbook, you'd be able to get your tasks, do all this other stuff, and then teleport to, I think Catherby was a good one. I don't really recall too many of the other ones, but if you could add other ones to that, that would be key.
Wonder if they're going to make you actually be able to choose which ones you get, or if they're just going to pick them and say, the okay, this is going to be unlocked at this...
Non-lunar spells, rather.
Yeah.
Trollheim's
only a few,
there.
But...
I doubt that they'll add combat, but teleports, I don't know why they'd have a problem with it.
Yeah, I have no problem with adding spells. It's just a way to get them. I mean, it doesn't promote farming the way farming should be promoted, because that'll be two farming updates this year focusing on non-conventional farming. Which, really, do you know anybody that farms by magic? Like, if you head out into the rural areas around you live, do you see anyone farming with magic? I don't think so.
Are you saying that there shouldn't be any magic at all in RuneScape? Because
no, I'm just saying that
real
should...
in real life.
I'm saying that you
just
be
didn't
able to
get
farm
your Hogwarts
magic.
Letter, young lad.
Did you get your Hogwarts letter?
No, but I wasn't expecting to. Clearly, I'm magical. I'm a squib.
A squib?
Yes.
What's a squib?
That means you still have partial magic capabilities.
Possible.
Other than just a muggle.
I'm going to try the quick spell service. Maybe they can help me.
I wouldn't count on it. Filch didn't have much luck.
Oh, but come on, it was Filch. Gotta look at the differences here.
Are we talking about Harry Potter now, or?
It's not impossible.
Shane, you need to read more books.
Or at least watch more movies. You don't really have
all,
to excuse anymore.
They're all out now.
Yeah. That was a good tangent. I like that.
Yeah, it was. There's also a few other rewards that you can't work to right now, including level 85 hybrid armor from a variety of minigames, necromancer gear, which are from Shades of Morden. We haven't heard of that place in a long, long time. Skull Stabs?
On the quest matter.
Or also when Shades of Morden. We as RSP and B update.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, we haven't
had... Because that was probably one of, you know, since I left RuneScape a long time ago, that would have been, you know, more recent for me, but...
No, Shades of Morden was, like, 2006.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't know.
Really?
We're old,
yes?
I think.
No, I just don't even remember it at all. I was
there was that place at the bottom of the swamp there, you know? By the way, where you go to the barrows and where you get the split bark armor?
Yeah,
and you
yeah.
burn the shades? That's Shades of Morden.
October 18th.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that one. Yeah, I've done that quite a bit. Or a decent amount, anyway. I guess I've never heard it pronounced that way, which is why I was like...
See, that's what happens when you get a bunch of old farts on the show. We forget these updates have been in the game and stuff, and, you know, it's
back
just...
Back in my day, Dragon Nose Picker. If you don't remember that, then, yeah, no problem with that.
Shades of Morden.
Let's make a note that this is episode 320.
Yes.
Very nice.
It is episode 320. What's the significance of 320, other than that it's been 320 weeks since we started?
Start dividing.
Nothing. I'm just using that to point out that it's been a long time since these updates came out. Because we did the Shades of Morden quest with Pico when it came out, Mike and myself.
That was 6.15 years ago.
That's what I just did too. Stop going on my Googles.
Did you do it in your head, you guys?
No.
I just said stop going on my Googles. Why would I do that in my head?
MS Calculator.
okay, so that's the behind the scenes. Which one of these updates do you guys think will be the most successful? Personally, I'm betting the Grand Exchange update.
The Grand Exchange will certainly be used the most.
Yeah.
It might get some more people to use the temple trekking thing, but I don't know what...
I doubt it.
You get anything else besides that the lumberjack outfit? Like, what else? What other benefits were there? I don't remember at this point.
I think you could gain small amounts of XP.
In what?
I don't know, random skills, whatever you used on the journey.
Oh, so it's kind of like summoning, except probably more concentrated in certain skills?
I don't
Not
know
summoning,
where summoning
sorry.
Comes in.
What's that new stupid one?
Dungeoneering.
Dungeoneering.
Took us long enough, but... Yeah.
Well, I don't really think of it as a skill, but it's combinations of things you use along the way.
You mean minigame?
Yeah.
Sorry, activity.
I do, actually, but...
Yeah, proper terminology here.
Oh, so we're going to get hate mail for that.
No,
what's that stupid one?
Oh, well, unfortunately, Shane's the one who has to deal with that.
Yeah.
Alrighty,
I think the auto updates will actually be the most successful because anything that makes the audio sound better is automatically better, regardless of whether people listen to it or not, I think.
Yeah, that's true. And it makes the game seem less Wii-ish and more, like, modern-ish, you know? Not something that...
Yeesh?
Wii-ish, like Nintendo Wii, you know? Like,
oh, I did,
comparing
I
Wii to the Xbox?
I didn't think of Wii as in Nintendo. I was just like, Wii as in small, like, little people, but... Anyway.
No, we're not going to use the Scottish term Wii, unfortunately. Oh. And I'm not going to break out into a Kiwi accent this week, unfortunately.
No, that's fortunate.
Clan Citadels are here.
Hey, you never even asked me. I think that the Edgeville update will be the most successful, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just reading.
Go wrong with.
Yeah, how dare you ignore him?
By the way, you can continue now.
No, you have a valid point, because it's just like the G, everyone will run through it.
Just go.
You've hurt his feelings, so I think you should apologize, Shane.
No.
No, I'm sorry, I was just reading what was on my page, scrolling up and down, and then I said...
I know, continue.
Clan Citadels have arrived!
Yay!
But, you know, and I didn't say, did I say which one's going to be the most successful?
You agreed with people who voiced their opinions, but I don't know if you said what you thought.
Okay. Well, I say the GE.
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
Okay. You did.
I agree with you, and that means I'm... Never mind, just go ahead.
Pat, what about you?
I said the audio updates, and then you agreed with me, so... Right. So now you're just like flopping now, and I just don't know if I can believe your conviction anymore.
Chain, future politician.
So what's next on the community newsletter?
Oh, just the community newsletter. I was reading along, and I saw that Clan Citadels are here, so you can take a read through this, and it's basically a mishmash of everything that's been posted community related, game update related in the month of July there. So if
you know, you could read something like this.
Well, exactly. That's why you want to listen to RSBNB update instead.
TLDR on this one, jeez.
Or you could come read articles at RSBNB Informer. Our articles are shorter and much more informative.
Oh my god, that is long. Does it go any further
down
than the first page?
Look at the guy with the bowling ball. He is serious.
Yeah, I was just
going to
say,
business.
Look at that.
Oh no, that is all.
It's all one page there.
Wow.
And they're still using PhotoBucket for some strange reason.
Modjohn H. That is actually the guy who posted it.
Oh, really?
And it looks like his. It looks like his avatar.
It looks like him. Except he looks like he's wearing like eyeshadow in his.
Yeah,
avatar.
I was gonna say he has eyeshadow on or something.
That is kind of strange, but yeah, it's not often you see a RuneScape avatar looking like someone in real life. I think that's pretty neat.
Yeah, I tried to get mine to be more, but I couldn't. I needed to make the face wider, but I couldn't.
Well, they've all got that smug, smirky smile, you know, that I really don't like. You know, the upturned corners of the mouth.
It's kind of like a... Yep.
It must be an English thing.
Must be.
Snobby bastards.
No, I think it's just it's a computer nerd thing. That's about all.
Computer nerd thing.
We're just automatically smirky.
We're all pretty smug.
Yeah.
So, anyways, you can either read that, or you can read the Informer articles, or you can listen to this show. Take your pick, but we know which
Informer
ones you would prefer.
Articles and show. Yep. Not nothing.
Do you know? Do you know Modern Family? Do you watch that? Anyone?
Nope.
No.
No, no, sorry, not even Modern Family. The Middle. Different show I'm thinking of. You won't get that.
Malcolm in the Middle?
No, just The Middle.
Okay, no, sorry.
No, there's just a little boy called Brick who just whispers, like, repeats words, and just like...
Oh.
Never mind.
Oh, it's good. There you go.
It was funny in my head.
So, that is how we extend... A behind-the-scenes article and a community announcement to take up a decent amount of time.
There you go. Yes.
Decent amount of time. Decent amount of time.
So we're gonna move on to questions right now. We got one audio question this week. It's suffering from Skype issues for some reason, but
Skype
it's still
issues.
Audible in its way.
Still audible. Awesome.
Great Informer.
Hello, everyone. I tried sending a question earlier today through Skype while using a Mac, and it was real glitchy, probably because I was using a Mac, so I asked that you discard that question. It was the really awkward one. Unless you didn't get one at all, then I'm just talking about nothing. Anyways, my questions this week are, do you believe in paranormal beings, like ghosts, demons, etc.? What are your favorite horror movies, and what do you think is the strangest monster on RuneScape? Thanks, and keep up the great work.
So,
Paranormal Activity. That was a creepy movie. But do I believe in the monsters? Not so much, I don't think.
I would tend to agree
with
that
viewpoint.
Yeah,
I have to concur.
Yep.
Pretty much. Although I haven't seen Paranormal Activity, I'm pretty sure if I did, it would be the best.
If you want to laugh, you can go ahead and watch it, but otherwise, you can go ahead and skip it.
Oh, I read on the wiki page that it's apparently based on a true story.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was meant to be quite serious. I find most horror movies funny, but
laughable.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's Paranormal Activity, then Paranormal Activity 2. 2 is a precursor to Paranormal Activity 1, but you can watch them in any order. It kind of works out.
Wouldn't it make sense to watch the precursor before the first one?
You don't have to. Because there's something at the end that's from the first one that you'd only understand if you watch the first one. So it would make more... I guess it would kind of make sense to watch it in the way that it came out, but it doesn't really matter. Either way, it's like a low-budget thing that did really well in the box office.
Well, yeah, there was big hype about it. I mean, they had a social media marketing thing where you had to enter your city, and whichever city's got the most votes would get the movie.
I thought it was pretty funny that they... I remember hearing that they played the trailer for Paranormal Activity 1 in front of the Twilight movie, and it, like, scared all these theater girls.
That does not surprise me in the slightest.
It's pretty funny.
Good teenage choice. Girls and the mothers who don't really... Yeah.
Anyhow, back to the question.
What was the question?
Do we believe in
paranormal
activity
stuff?
Well, that's no. No.
So it's a resounding no. Next.
But in I think he also mentioned something about RuneScape.
He also wanted to know the favorite horror movies, then what the weirdest looking monster
well,
RuneScape
yeah, we said
is.
Paranormal. Yeah. Oh, weirdest looking, yeah.
I really don't watch horror movies. Like, they're just not my thing. I don't really get any enjoyment out of it.
Let's see.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as Kala here with that one.
I watched some, but I'm trying to think, like, what was recent. I know Saw, that's a good one, but then they've gone downhill a bit. A lot. Okay.
A bit.
There's like 12, let's see, there's 7 of them, I want to say. It kind of went downhill after the second or third one. Like, it's quite terrible. Let's see. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Oh, there's some remakes. Yeah, the Friday the 13th, that was probably horror. Nightmare on Elm Street was actually filmed, or at
the
least
new
there's
one?
A... The old one, the original one. No, those new ones suck terrible.
New one was crap.
The Friday the 13th new one and the Nightmare on Elm Street ones, the new ones were horrible. But the first one, the one where they're filming in like a room full of pipes and smog and whatnot, it was part of a dream. It was actually filmed at the college I used to go to because the whole story was actually put together by an old professor that worked there. And Elm Street was actually in the town. So I've actually been in the building that was the place they did that. Anyway, good stuff. I'm not touching my laptop again.
Do you know how bad that sounds when I first read it?
That's kind of weird.
Touching your, no.
Okay, Chief, horror movies, go.
Oh.
I'm not much of a horror movie fan either, like Color. I just don't get that much enjoyment out of them. But I've watched quite a few, because it's what people tend to do in university halls. Probably the best... I mean, obviously this does not count, but Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, I don't think that one counts.
No, not really.
But in that same vein, I think Zombieland was really good.
Zombieland, yeah.
Don't watch Stripland, it's terrible. It's like a remake on Zombieland, but it's horrible. Sorry.
Okay, what go then?
All right.
Yeah. RuneScape monsters now.
Yeah.
I don't know. How do you make a RuneScape monster look weird?
Cyclops?
Okay. Yeah, those look pretty weird with the graphical update they got when they did the Dragon
That's the last thing I remember,
Defender
really.
Guild thing.
The trolls, before they had the update, they look pretty funny. Their faces. The troll faces.
They looked like they were rocks.
Yeah. Rocks with, like, dots for eyes and, like, a red tongue or whatever. It's really
What do they look like now?
I'm not even sure.
When were they updated?
A month, 2 or 3 months ago, I'm going to say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they redid the whole Trollheim area. But, you know, they look actually kind of like ogres now, actually. Yeah, that's how they look. They look like ogres. Yeah.
But before,
like,
they
fat
just
in the middle, and then they strange. Got a narrow neck and then a head.
Oh, wow, they do look strange now. They look like they're made out of rocks, like golems, almost.
Yeah, that too. Like, too many of these monsters are looking like similar monsters in games, so...
Yeah. The river trolls and sea trolls look cool, but...
I'm guessing it's the low model polygon count that they're having to deal with for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So... Anyways, thank you, Papero, for that question. No, I did not get your very disturbing question that you tried to send me on a Mac.
Which could be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Paul, you're going to read this first text question.
Okie dokie. Question from Ben. Greetings, Shane, and 2 to 5 people that may or may not include the aforementioned Shane. Instead of combat level, I think a level based on total experience should be shown in non-combat-oriented areas. It would use the same formula as normal skill levels, except with total experience instead of an individual's skill experience. The experience for level 10 hit points would be removed, making new players start at level 1 instead of level 10. Here's a chart of experience levels for reference. A new player would be level 1. 15 every skill would be 82. Knight Gunner 5 would be 111. Shane 12088 would be 129. Highest possible levels would be 134. 200 million in every skill would be 161. Whereas the RSB&B total would be 168. What do you think? Love, Ben.
I see. So basically, for anybody who is unaware, there's a formula that works to calculate the level or experience from either or going either way, and you can do that. So what he's saying is that based on your total experience, it would use that to calculate a level.
Mm-hmm. Rather than just the combat lever, which means that people start at level 3 because they have 10 hit points.
So would that mean if you just do one skill, because that's all you like doing, like the people that are just crazy for cooking, for example. I guess there's 200 mil in every level at this point, but people just do one skill. Would they have some ridiculously high level then?
Well, yeah, they'd have the same, like, if you had 200 million XP, you would be, I forget what the number is, it's something like level 1, what is it? I don't know. I forget.
Not sure. But
I don't have my formula here with me, but I know that, I know what he's saying. And to be honest, I don't know if it would make sense because, you know, RuneScape is such a combat-based game, so.
Yeah. I don't know if they can change it after all this time, just, you know, straight. That would be my direct answer to that question, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been bounced around a lot of times before. And
yeah.
I think people have always thought, well, combat's a better indicator of it.
I just don't see, like, there's not really much point. You don't... It's just like boasting, really. That's the only...
And yeah, for reason. Boasting and all that, to show off that you have a high level in whatever, there's skill capes. So yeah. If you
but
have a
skill
capes
are only 13 million XP. What
it's
do I get for my
million,
30, 38 million farming
if,
XP?
If you're a little level 3 with a farming cape, that's nice. But if it's trim, then you are liking to boast, as a new level probably would. You just can rotate between your 10 different capes or whatever, increase your inventory space, and cycle through and just start doing the emotes. That would... be the same level as showing off, but it wouldn't require any changes. I don't know. It's just, as you were saying, it is a combat-based game. If you don't do combat, it becomes a lot more difficult.
It does, and that adds a whole new aspect to it.
Yeah.
But getting away from the skiller argument, I think that showing the combat levels is actually necessary in lots of areas.
Yeah, that's right.
Such
I mean,
as
if
PvP.
You can't just take that away.
Showing, yeah. And showing skill levels, for instance, is not really as important because there's not really any areas where you'd actually... not many areas, in fact, that you'd actually need to know someone's skill levels. And if you did, then it would probably be easier to just open up a new tab and look them up in the high scores, you know?
Yeah,
that's true. And, you know, knowing the way Jagex does their interfaces and everything, they could do this and make it very ugly looking and stuff. Just all you need to do is look at the right click interface for somebody that's got one of those loyalty titles, and you can see that.
It's funny how you worded that. Knowing Jagex, they could make it terrible. Not that they could do really well with this, but no, they'd probably just take it and ruin it.
It's no big surprise.
I think it would be nice, but I'm not sure how they could implement it with actually keeping the combat there and also keeping the two very separate and distinct. I think it would just add unnecessary information. That's all.
Yeah, and like Chief said, you can't remove something that's been there since the beginning of time. Too many things depend on combat level. Like, do you get attacked by this cow? How do you know if you're going to get attacked by this cow that you're walking in, right?
Mm-hmm. Or something that actually does stop attacking you at a certain level. Not cows. Something like a lesser demon or something like that, you know?
Yep. So, good idea, Ben, but we have to say no to that one. Colin,
good idea,
next one for you.
None of us agree with it.
Yeah.
For me?
Yes.
All right. Dun, 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 dun,
no, no,
dun,
no, 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 no. That's not the one. The next one up.
That's not the one.
just continue reading this one anyway.
Yes, I should. But no, this question is from Game Uverse. Hello, Shane and other guests. One question for me today. How often do you guys get to play RuneScape? That's a good question. How often do you guys get to play RuneScape is a question in and of itself, in which we could say any of our free time we can get to play RuneScape. However, the time that we do actually play RuneScape is probably a different number altogether. For me, it's on or close to zero. I suspect it might be the same for Chief and Paul as well.
Yeah.
Oh, this is an awkward question, isn't it?
It is. It is an awkward question. Oh.
I feel that Color has very accurately answered this question. There only remains one of us who has yet to...
Yes, please make us look better, Shane.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what to say, except that I was away for a week, then I was back for a week, and quite honestly, I haven't touched it in any meaningful fashion since I got back. A few nights a week. 4 or 5 nights a week. Probably.
Yeah, well, I probably could play it more often, but it's just that I've found different games to play that I find more enjoyable, which is kind of sad in the sense that I'm still coming back all the time to talk on an RSBNB podcast about RuneScape. But I don't know what to say anymore. I just don't.
Well, it's okay, because, you know...
Now I feel embarrassed.
You know, it's okay, because you guys are all veterans in your own respective, right? So, it's the veteran perspective that matters. For all three of you.
Mm-hmm. And maybe we're just interesting in our own right, I guess. So,
and
I
you
mean,
know,
hopefully, I'm like to.
There's
think.
Also the idea that people who are old, like us, have a different perspective on things, even though you're not in the. You're not actually in there experiencing it and dodging the shots as they come. You can still apply your knowledge to it and be useful, you know? That's my perspective on the whole thing. And, you know, I'm going to be getting 95.
Even if we don't even read about the updates?
I don't know if you should have said that, but, okay.
Way to make it even better.
Yeah, because everybody is supposed to read the updates before they come on the show, no matter who they are.
Yes, and I usually do, actually, in fairness, and I actually look at what's
when
going
there
on.
Actually are updates. To be fair, there were no yes. updates this week.
Yes, that is true, and I have noticed a few posts on RuneWire saying, oh my gosh, what is this, what is that, and it's basically something from a new update that was just explained in a news post like a week prior. So, I don't think many people actually read the updates for that matter, even the ones
that they don't. I mean, so. I see people in game who don't know what this quest was out and whatnot, so.
Or where the heck did this NPC come from, or why is this going on, and that sort of thing. So.
Yes, so, thank you for that question there, Gameuverse, but I'm going to be getting 95 prayer shortly, so it's safe to say I'll be touching RuneScape quite a bit in the coming weeks. Well, playing, like, you know, like, you have to do that because you're actually, like, manipulating the pixels and everything.
Mm-hmm. Moving around and moving your character around, I mean. That sort of thing.
Anyways.
Okay, next question. Do you want to take this?
Yes. Chief can read this one because this one requires a Kiwi accent.
It does require a Kiwi accent, that's true. So
I see your point. Yeah, I remember. All right.
Yes.
Yeah, RR Man 100. I have to read the whole question, LOL. Just kidding. 100 here. I'm too sick to send in an audio question this week, so a quick text one. First, I got 99 defense last week, but because RuneWire posts don't count as forum posts, I wasn't in the high scores when it happened. Ooh, that sucks.
Ouch.
Okay, my question is... Were you always a Mac fanboy? If not, why did you change over? Peace.
That's an
answer
interesting
that one for me, Chief. I'm not a Mac fanboy. Tell them that.
I'm pretty sure you are, Shane.
Yes.
You used Lion as your pick on the last show that I was on.
You used it as well.
I used it because you used it, and it was going to be our joint thing since I had nothing else.
Okay.
To be fair, I mean, I do have Lion as well now. I downloaded it last week. But I use Linux as my primary operating system. You, Shane, use a Mac.
I don't think using something describes them.
No, I just realized how bad that sounded when I said
yes.
that. But
he
is still
a Mac, therefore he is a fanboy. No, I think it's someone who completely loves one thing and then refuses to acknowledge any shortcomings about it. That describes a fanboy. And I think Shane does describe shortcomings of Apple, the company, just not very often. So
I'll tell you shortcomings of the operating system, for example, several times, where we hear about especially autocorrect problems.
Yeah. Java.
Yeah,
particular.
Also Java, that's right, that's another thing. Last night, Chief, when I was talking to you, my system locked up and I could not move my windows around. I had to force restart.
Yes.
Ouch.
No.
I'm not sure what that was from, but...
Okay, this will determine whether or not you are a Mac fanboy, Shane. What do you think of Steve Jobs' fashion sense?
I really don't care what somebody wears in their day-to-day life.
Good. That is a good approach to have.
Indeed. Logical and whatnot.
Yeah, and, you know, like, I've praised Windows 7 and Linux when it gets praise and everything, so I don't see what the issue is with that. So, right?
Yeah.
You like, know what I've told be. You I would gladly use Linux if it wasn't for the applications on OS X.
Yeah.
Need more developers. Start going
yeah,
over.
Yeah, and you know, it's the whole open source infighting thing.
We must like, construct additional pylons.
What? You don't even play StarCraft, so how do you know about that?
Everyone knows about that.
I don't play StarCraft. I know about pylons.
Just like Zergling okay. Rush, it's basically gone into normal conversation now.
Mm-hmm. I don't know okay. about that, to be honest, but...
You know, like rushing in a game?
Mm. Yes. Mm. Yeah, but Blitzkrieg. I've never heard of Zergling Rush in popular culture or anywhere. Mm.
Okay.
So
that's all. Oh wait, if not, why did you change over? So what separates a Mac from the rest for you, Shane?
Well, number one is the operating system, aside from the few little icky points about it. But that's just related to the current generation of hardware. So that's easily fixable. I think everything they have now is okay. It's just a matter of getting rid of the crappy NVIDIA drivers that have always plagued OS X. I mean, from the very start when they adopted NVIDIA, they had issues with that. The user-generated applications, Coda, Cornerstone, SVN, the one I was telling you about last night, that RSS reader, it just feels like the applications are designed for people and not just put together in some form builder thing designed to convey information. You know, it just feels more more human in a way. So, and then there's also the hardware too as well, which I know you agree with, right?
Yes, the hardware is amazing. I don't like the operating system, but.
Yeah, so you can answer this as well. Why did you choose a MacBook for your laptop?
I bought a MacBook because the hardware is incredible. You cannot get the same sort of quality hardware with a Windows-based or Linux-based even computer. You know, just, yeah. I mean, it has a 7-hour battery.
Yeah.
And that was the main thing, really. And just the build quality in general. Mm.
Yeah, like, they're so solid. Compared to any PC laptop, they feel like cheap plastic.
Yeah, they really do. They look so, like cheap plastic, too.
So
maybe because they are cheap plastic.
Oftentimes, yeah.
So, yeah, I think this is one of the few remnants on the show, the perceptions we have left over from Brad 1, is he was always nailing home the fanboy thing. So,
and it's always just because it's funny to pin it on you.
Yes.
I mean, that's the main reason.
Yeah. But on the first part of his question, actually, because RuneWire posts don't count as forum posts, now that we have more site integration, I wanted to ask you a question, Shane. Is there a plan to make it so that RuneWire posts count?
You'll have to ask Mike about that because I don't deal with the high scores.
Okay. Well, can you ask him for me?
Yes, I can ask him.
He should have been on the show today, but
he should have been.
He should have been, indeed.
Yeah, he should have come, but oh well. Mm-hmm. He'll come on at some point in the future, I imagine. It's not like he is absent or anything, or what's the word I'm looking for? He's not absent and doesn't care. He cares very much about what we're doing here.
He's just a little gun-shy, isn't he?
I don't know about that. Like, every show he's been on, he's been decent. And the one show that him and Brad did way back when, in one of the summers when I was away, that one got the best ratings for the entire summer season, so...
Because it was Mike! That's probably why.
Yeah, and he edited it and put it out on his own, too, so...
Yeah. Yeah. You just start using your persuasion tactics, Shane. Yeah, I know they're there, so... I mean...
Yeah, I'll have to have them come over one day, and then we'll just... It'll be on a show day, and we'll just start doing the show.
Yeah, that would be a good plan. Well, no, don't hold them hostage. That just ruins the episode.
Says you.
Paul knows this all too well.
Maybe.
Okay, next question.
I will admit to nothing.
Anyway, thank you, RRMan100. Next one is from Meltdown. Why does Chrome.exe process replicate itself? I would understand if I had two tabs open, two Chrome.exe processes would appear, but I have two tabs open, yet there are five processes open. What's wrong with Exe?
Sorry.
Huh?
Exe?
I just say Exe. It's easier.
Okay.
Well, doesn't anyone say JPEG rather than JPEG?
I say JPEG.
I mean, but it's easier to say Exe.
Funny.
I say GIF. I say ping.
I say PNG.
Yeah, PNG. Yeah. But
PNG.
GIF.
Ping.
Okay, continue reading the question.
Ping.
If I end any of them, all the others terminate. They're all using fairly hefty chunks of memory, too, between 70 and 250 megabytes. I'm sure there's a reason for this. I just can't find it. Well,
I don't know why he can hit any of them and they all crash. Usually it would only hit one tab or one add-on, extension, whatever. But that's why every single extension you have is its own process. Every single tab you have, it's its own process. Plus there's the master chrome.exe, I think.
Unless you're just unfortunately hitting the master one every time.
It's not impossible.
Yeah, that could be it.
That would definitely kill it, yeah.
See, here on Google Chrome on OS X, I've got a main Google Chrome process, which is the browser itself. Then I've got several Google Chrome renderers and Google Chrome workers as well.
Let's see, I've got...
And
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I've got 10 Chrome processes with two tabs open. I don't know what they're all for.
So you have this two then, Paul.
Yeah, hold on, let's see how many extensions I have. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I have 8 extensions and 2 tabs, so that does add up to 10.
I have a theory on this, actually, and even though I'm definitely not the tech guy, sometimes when I have Steam open and then I close it, the process won't close, and then if I try to open Steam up again, it'll just say that I can't open it because it's already running, even though it isn't, but it is, technically, so that I'd actually have to close the process. So I think what it's happening there is when you're closing certain tabs, it'll actually keep the process open, possibly. I don't know why it should be doing that, because it's all one application in the first place.
The problem is Windows.
It's possible, because I'd seen that happen on Firefox too, when I just have certain tabs just stop functioning, it'll open up a new process for the rest of them. So I don't think it's limited to Chrome, actually.
I know for, at least in that instance, with... I know TF2 and some of the other Half-Life 2-based games, whenever you try to close it, if it doesn't close properly or if you try to relaunch too quick, it'll still be running. So it'll be like, this program cannot, or this game cannot be launched this time, or this game is unavailable. And all you have to do is go into the processes and kill that one. It's like, oh, balls to you.
Yeah. Well, it reminded me of one time I had... did a little experiment, and I basically never shut off my computer for a week, and I used the same Firefox process that I'd opened up for the 7 days, and at the end, my computer was just running so slow,
yeah,
the internet was
Firefox.
Terrible. And it was just so
Firefox,
terrible, but it was also funny, because I looked back in the processes, and there was like 20 Firefox things open.
Whoa.
So, because of all the accumulated days, so once I closed that all off, it went right back to normal, you know? So I think it might be possible that you also have maybe have kept the same window open too long or something like that. I don't know. But
yeah, it definitely seems to be
150 to 200 meg right there.
It's definitely a Windows problem because on I don't know, Chief, you're on Linux, and do you have Chrome installed?
I don't use Chrome. I don't even have it installed anymore, no.
Okay. Basically, I've got Chrome renderers for pages that I have open and Chrome workers for all my extensions in the background, it would seem. And when I close one, the other one disappears, so I am, you know, it's doing what it's supposed to be doing on here. So your guys' theory about that being a Windows problem would be right.
I thought that was your theory.
No, that was yours. That was your theory about how it's the same thing as the other problems.
Yeah.
Okay. Go with that.
But as to how to fix it, not particularly sure unless sometimes you
really
can close,
for
close
it's
it down.
Not really something to fix. Close, it's just kind of the way it happens.
Maybe yeah. Close your browser every few hours or something like that and just open up a new one.
Yeah.
Might make your computer run better, too.
If you're worried about memory usage, there used to be a runtime parameter you could use for Chrome. I don't think it ever got put into the normal, but if you went to the task manager, you would be able to hit, free up processes or something. But it never made it into the official – it never made it as an official feature, but I still think you can run that.
I used to have to manually set – memory when Chrome first came out to make sure Flash wouldn't quit.
As you say, and speaking of the whole different processes, if you right-click on the top of Chrome and you go to Task Manager, which will open up just your browser Task Manager, you can see what each of those tabs or each of those
that's a good
things
point.
Are. So I've got one for AdBlock, one for Reddit Companion, Google Voice, Google URL shortener, LastPass, FlashBlock, blah, 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 blah. Plus my two tabs and the official
the RSP and the update show notes tab is using 112 megabytes of RAM.
I've got that combined with my inbox using 152 meg.
I think even just outside of that, if you are on Windows, press Control Alt Delete, then go to the Windows Task Manager, and if you have a look and see how much. If you go under processes and then under the, I think it's CPU, it'll show you what percentage of your hard drive is dedicated to that, or what percentage of memory is dedicated to that certain application. And if it's an insane amount, you should just close it. Because if it's something like a game, it will take up a huge chunk of memory. But if it's just a browser, and it's not running any video or any music or any online streaming thing like that, then it shouldn't be taking up that much memory. Because I've got it open right now. Yeah, but I'm not using anything right now. It's not taking up any memory at all, right? It's just got the show notes open right now. But Skype is on, and it's doing something, and, you know, Task Manager is doing something, you know, that sort of thing. But if you just have things open, and it's not if you're not streaming, like, YouTube or whatever, then it shouldn't take that much memory up, which is kind of strange.
And
so, the whole point of having memory is to use it. That's why...
Exactly.
If you have, I've got 8 gig of RAM now, and I've never seen it go above 4 gig.
Yeah.
So, I could care less. If I have a runaway process, as long as it's not eating away my CPU, I could care less how much RAM it has. I've never had a problem at this point.
Exactly.
Granted, it's been a week, but still.
The first thing in system design that you're taught, or even software design, but more low-level system design, is you have system resources. Use them! You're not being inefficient if you're not using your resources. Yeah,
give them up if something else needs it, but use it if you can.
Exactly. But, this just underscores one more thing, even with what Pat there was mentioning about the Firefox thing. This is Windows in general, C++ management. Chrome is probably coded in the same thing, too. And, you know, it's just... goes to show what kind of operating system Windows is at the core. If you compare it to Linux or even OS X, Linux is much simpler. And OS X is too, but it's slightly more complex. It's just nice having a simple operating system underneath, and I think that's partially why Chief uses Linux.
Yep.
I think we've exhausted that question's answers. Shane, you're getting too techie now.
No, Have you ever thought about compiling your kernel there, Brad?
No. Why would I want to do that, Shane? It works fine.
Okay, I don't know. We thought about compiling our kernel for the RSBNB web server.
Okay.
Anyways,
you probably didn't do that.
Yeah, we decided not to, because if we do that, we're kind of out of luck if it breaks.
Yeah.
And my professor last semester did it because he needed a real-time kernel for audio editing. But other than that,
see?
I don't know anyone else who did it. Yeah, but he had
now
trouble
we've gone
whenever there was
too
a new
techie.
Update. It took a long time. At any rate, don't
yeah,
do that people most of the time.
When you compile your own stuff, you got to compile everything. So, anyways, yep. Who wants to read the next question?
I can read it if you'd wish.
I'll take it.
Paul?
Paul takes it. He hasn't done one yet.
I have done one. I was the first one. But I think we've gone all the way around, right?
I've got a short memory.
Yeah, we have.
Okay, so this is a question from Cuddle Buddy. Aloha, Shane and other hosts of RSBNB. I am new to RSBNB and was wondering what music you guys listen to, and if you ever heard the song Frontline, My Pillar, and if so, what you think of it. Many thanks from your Kiwi friend, Cuddle Buddy.
So many Kiwis lately.
Yes. Me, or you've unleashed the horde. No.
Now that
I think that was actually a typo, I think. It was actually, the song is called Frontline, and it's by a band called Pillar.
Yeah.
I actually Googled it last night and then actually realized that I had listened to it before.
Oh.
And it's a pretty good song.
Oops, I don't want to comment on that.
It's, it's basically a hard rock-ish song, but yeah, they're a rock band, I've heard of them before, but I don't really listen to them that much.
Right.
Yeah, it's a pretty good song, I think. I wouldn't put it on my iPod, though, and listen to it multiple times, you know?
Sounds okay. Yeah, again, probably wouldn't listen to it.
I've listened to 10 seconds, so... There you go.
It's about the same for me.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to listen to it, but I probably won't. But it sounds all right. So I would listen to it if it came on the radio, but I'm not going to go and download it now.
Mm.
So, my honest opinion.
I hope you downloaded from a legal source.
Too lazy.
We do that,
Shane. Don't care.
Music tastes?
Good.
Gentlemen?
Mental gin?
Mental gin?
Lots of rock. Classic rock, current rock, metal-ish sometimes. Depends on the mood. Anywho.
I'm into most kinds of music, actually, except for most pop music and, sometimes I just can't stand the radio, but... Other than that, I mostly listen to rock, hard rock, and metal that doesn't have any screaming or unintelligible lyrics in it, like clean vocals. That's what I like to listen to. Like those kind of metal genres, like power metal, folk metal.
Folk metal? Yeah,
folk metal is the funniest thing ever.
Folk
because
metal?
Most of the...
Yeah,
because most of the bands in the genre don't take themselves seriously. They're all, like, talking about, like, Viking Norse mythology or, like, medieval stuff or things from Lord of the Rings, that sort of thing. You know? It's hilarious when you're sometimes...
That's why
you listen.
I said folk metal? What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, I probably couldn't listen to that seriously. That's the kind of stuff that's nice to listen to once, just to laugh at it, but...
It's like Weird Al for me. Like I love listening to it occasionally, but I can't just like have it blaring in my car because it's just too odd. Although having a polka come on is interesting.
Yes. He just performs
like a rock polka or
can't read a my polka phase. No. Yep.
Okay.
Speaking of which, has anyone seen the new Weird Al one perform this way? That is pretty funny.
Yes. It's not actually his body, though.
Of course not.
Of them. I was like, wow, he's really kind of, wow.
What are we listening to?
I don't know. Something from Wikipedia. Skyclads.
Of all things.
The Widdershins Jig from 1991.
Where did you get that from? Were you...
I googled just folk like... metal and I found this thing on Wikipedia.
Huh.
Oh, okay. That didn't sound that bad.
No. Well, yeah, well... They usually just, like, combine traditional heavy...
Whoa.
Is that some...
And I just... Microphone for a second there. Don't know what happened there. I just myself stopped talking there. They basically combine both the heavy metal and then the traditional, you know, like violins, you know, this guitars, stuff that you'd find in traditional folk music, right?
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think it's a good blend, actually.
It says Viking metal is a fusion genre.
Mm-hmm. Well, most genres are fusion genres. And blends something else.
Alrighty, so Pat listens to folk metal. Chief, what about you?
As well as other types. All kinds of music.
I'm pretty much exactly the same, minus the folk metal. But but even then, I appreciate some good, you know, classical metal blends. Because I really like classical music as well. So I can listen to just about anything. Yeah, I mean, from opera all the way up to metal, it's... Yeah, I'm happy. Just as long as it's not pop. Oh, yeah, some pop.
Some rock opera going on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's and, on. Good stuff.
Country is not that nice,
are Alrighty then.
Yeah, no. No country.
Yeah, I... That's one thing that I will say really annoys me is country music.
Maybe it's because I listened to it a lot when I was younger, but no. It's my mom likes,
you know,
so.
Here in Alberta, we're supposed to listen to country music. Wouldn't you agree, Pat, that that's like what you assume?
It's a stereotype of wide open plains and in the country and not too many houses around, you know. It's like a road trip theme, I guess, is to listen to country music, isn't it? Because usually your dad is the one that that controls the radio, and he's and he's typically the one that would like country music, right? Am I right?
entirely on that.
At least in North America. It would be that.
Would conservatives. It would definitely be the father controlling the radio.
Yeah. My dad actually likes listening to all kinds of music. He actually enjoys my musical my musical library.
Wow.
So I'm pretty surprised.
That's good.
My sister one day, we were talking to each other about him, and she said to me, "Do you know he listens to Twisted Sister?" And I'm like, "Are you joking me?" They're the ones that did the, you know, "We're not going to take it." That song and you know, other songs. It's pretty funny, you know, thinking of him listening to hair metal.
Wow.
You know, people will surprise you in what they like, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But yes, since Cuddle Buddy, you seem to enjoy music, why don't check out the music forum on rsbnb.com/forums?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's a good idea.
It is a good idea. We're always looking for new enthusiasts.
Mm-hmm. And then he can cuddle up with some of you.
I've got a cuddle buddy, and it's not a guy.
You gotta get to know us first, though. You know,
really, really well. Yeah.
And then if we like it, maybe we'll put a ring on it.
Oh God. No.
No.
Alrighty, moving on. I'm going to abstain from answering this, seeing as I don't really listen to music and I don't care to listen to music. So.
And I am working for to try and change that. Meanwhile, he is reverse trying to get me into something else, which I shall not mention. So, next question. Maybe I should... Here. Question from Waffle233. Dear Shane and other people, my first question this week is for everyone. I like my iPod a lot, but I hate iTunes. It always seems to delete my songs and have random weird errors. Has anyone else here experienced the fact that iTunes sucks? Also, can you lay down a dirty beatboxing type... Sincerely, Waffle. I like these questions.
Well, iTunes and Windows, I'm guessing, so enjoy that suckage.
I've never had any problems with iTunes on Windows.
It's
really
not
just
pleasant.
Generally sucks. I mean, problems
I've heard certainly would be worse on Mac, but I don't have personal experience with that.
There has to be a better way of music to your iPod than
iTunes. You can do music to your iPod. I think even your iPod Classics or Touches or iPhones, but you cannot do applications unless you use iTunes. If I could just do music, I would not care. I would use not Songbird. I think Winamp now has decent plugins, and it's apparently coming back from being kind of meh. FUBAR 2000. I think that's what it's called, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And there may be one other one that I'm missing. But most of those have plugins you can sync music, but you cannot do applications. So you kind of either deal with iTunes occasionally. Like, I'll do mine every major update to an operating system, but that's about it. If I can avoid it, I will. I get all my podcasts through iTunes on the little device, and after that, I'm good.
You want to know what the problem is with iTunes? The problem with iTunes is that it is combining management for devices, a music player, two stores, all into one device, or all into one software program.
I don't think that's the problem.
What needs to happen...
It is
the problem. Because...
One of the problems.
Everything... Like, it doesn't make sense that you have to plug in a phone and use iTunes to use that to manage it, you know? That does not make sense.
I mean, the phone itself, especially, well, phone, iPod, whatever you use, is pretty capable on its own. So,
although they are adding wireless, right? But even then, you still have
you're not
to use
gonna...
iTunes.
Mm. Yeah, use iTunes on the phone.
Yeah.
Or on the
iPod.
No,
you have to use iTunes on your computer.
Right, yes,
I think they're adding wireless sync in iOS
Yeah, and
5,
they're
right?
making it so you don't need an actual computer to set up an iPod or something. So that'll
Which
be good.
Is
but
about,
oh, yeah, that's right.
But, you know, like, I don't have a big music library, so maybe I'm not experiencing the problem with it, but what are some of the iTunes problems that exist?
It just sucks.
It's slow. The interface freezes all the time. You can have gobs of memory and a great processor, and the thing just sluggish.
It's because
they tried to make it look like a Mac application on Windows, which
they need to just give up on that.
You should, for the majority of what Apple makes is through their hardware. So
yes,
they sell the majority of their hardware to people who use Windows. Why don't they take the time to once rewrite iTunes for Windows and deal with it? It would make so many people so much more happy. Some people think it's some inside conspiracy to get people to switch over to Mac. But honestly, if you're switching just because of iTunes, you probably aren't doing it quite right.
It's like a console port onto PC, or making a mobile version of a certain application and then just keeping it all the same, you know? It just doesn't work. I don't know why they don't understand that. But, I don't know, the biggest problem I have is that it takes like 2 minutes to start up, if ever. Seriously, I shall click on it right now, and let's see how long it takes to open up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
okay.
8.
I'm going to click on it right now, and I'll tell you when it opens.
Shut up, Shane. You have a solid state drive.
It's open.
Yeah, really.
17, 18, 19, 20. There we go. 20 seconds to open. That's awful.
I would open it, but I don't. If I touch my other computer, you guys will be angry. So, but yeah, it would probably take 15 seconds just to show up, and then it freezes for a while just while it's updating the iTunes library. And then it's like, herp derp, not going to change anything, but we're still going to freeze. Okay. Oh, wait, now your device is there. Oh, it's been plugged in the entire time, but we're just going to realize it's there now.
Yeah, that too. That is another problem. Oh, and another problem, having to install QuickTime along with it. That is awful.
What's wrong with QuickTime?
Because no one ever uses it. When was the last time anyone ever used QuickTime?
I use QuickTime
on Windows to play videos.
Oh, come on. You don't use VLC? Are you joking me?
No, I use QuickTime.
It's illogical, Shane.
VLC and CCCP.
How do you combined even have codecs through QuickTime on Windows?
Yeah.
I don't play absurd video files.
Jeez.
Everything I play is MPEG-4 or plain AVI.
But then still, even if you do use QuickTime, which no one ever does except for Shane, when's the last time we heard that? The fact that it forces you to install QuickTime along with iTunes, even though you might not need it.
But
and then,
it needs it.
No, it doesn't need it. It doesn't need it. It doesn't need
it
at all.
Yes, it does. Below the application level, it does.
It does not.
iTunes.
You should just use the built-in MP3 decode that's...
It can't because... Windows. Because
no,
the
because
way
the
Apple
doesn't
applications
want to
work...
Program. It should.
It uses Core Audio and Core Video.
Jeez.
Which is in QuickTime.
See, this is why I like Linux, because my music player actually gives you a choice whether you want to use GStreamer, which is kind of the accepted norm, or MPlayer. And there's even another option which is grayed out for me at the moment. I don't know why, but it you don't even, you know, it's already installed, so it lets you use it. It's logical.
Yeah.
iTunes is not.
I will give you guys the argument that yes, iTunes could be made more native on Windows to use the native libraries and whatnot. Maybe even they should have a special version of it just for iPods. I don't know.
Isn't that the only reason why anyone would ever use iTunes is if they own an iPod in the first place?
the store?
My friend has a Zune, and actually his girlfriend now has a Zune, the HD, which, I mean, yeah, granted, it hasn't exactly been overly successful, which is why I got phased out. But the interface on Windows is really fantastic. It's quite amazing. It looks really awesome, especially if you have it as a background kind of dealy. Like you have it as a screensaver, but you're playing music and you're just watching the album art. It looks very nice. Versus iTunes, it's just a default thing. You can play any music, and the visualizer is always the same. It's kind of pretty, but it's always the exact same. There's nothing changes based on music.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's... Yeah. Plus Apple Update, which is...
Oh, what's wrong with that?
Do you want to install Safari
What's wrong with Apple Update?
You want to install Safari, right? You want to install Safari. Safari. No!
Or Mobile Me. Don't forget about Mobile Me. Oh, yes, and QuickTime updates. That's another one that I love. I'll go with that one. Just got one today. Oh, do you want to install an update for QuickTime? I'm like, no, I'd like to uninstall it. But if I do, iTunes crashes.
I think... Are we done yet with this one?
Do you want Safari with that?
No. it comes pre-checked half the time. Which is like... Fucking...
What's
all right, RR Man 100, have we convinced you that Shade actually is a Mac fanboy? Oh. Poor Shane. We you know we love you.
Yes. Shane, I gathered that.
Can you lay down a dirty beatboxing type beat for us?
No. No.
Why not?
It can be clean if you want. I think you would accept
that. I refuse to do that.
So, but you can do it, though. You just choose not
to. I don't even know what a beatboxing beat is.
I can help you with that.
Go right ahead, then.
Oops. Beatboxing.
I thought there was going to be an example there.
Amazing.
Paul, you were just going to start going, things.
Okay, this guy doesn't even start for a while.
I'm not playing any videos, so waffle the answers now. No, I don't want to. It might be dangerous.
This guy's really good.
Anyways, moving on to tech news. Paul, you gathered this together, so...
I did.
I'll read up the first story, because I told you to put this one in.
Yeah, I was going to mention it, but yeah, go ahead.
One of Google's self-driving cars got into a car accident.
Yes.
Probably because
of... had an accident?
Am I right? Probably because of a human error, am I right?
It was because of a human error.
Yes, human error.
That's what Google was claiming, but... Technically,
they went further. They probably went further to say that, you know, if it was the computer driving it, it wouldn't have gotten in the accident.
I just find it funny that it was involving two Toyota Priuses, just not any other car. Just
it
the
is
Priuses.
In California, so
yeah,
yeah. Doesn't have it in this article. I think the cars have driven. It's like 180,000 miles total. And every single error has been either human caused by the driver or other people outside of the car that weren't following the laws. Like, I think they hit a... there was a biker that they had to brake for because bikers are, as in pedal bike, are notoriously terrible with obeying stoplights and whatnot. Just because they don't have an engine, they think they don't need to do that. People. But yeah.
Just like pedestrians walking when there's a no-walk signal.
You know, I wouldn't mind having one of these self-driving cars because doesn't it make you just feel safer knowing you're in control of something that can react quicker than you can?
Shane, you're just saying that because you can't drive. It's not your driver's license. I'm sure you'd feel very different about it. When you're,
No, I mean...
You live in a city, so it's kind of different, but...
But you're driving with someone else and you don't know how to drive, you trust them completely. And
yeah.
This is when you're younger and when you're a kid. Once you get your driver's license and you're
You realize how crap everyone else is at driving?
Exactly! You realize how terrible other people are driving, and then you just... you feel uncomfortable when you're driving with them, and then you actually want to take over. So, yeah. Actually, I don't think I'd feel very comfortable in a self-driving car, especially one that I wouldn't have any control over, you know? That would be...
This is like the same thing as OS X. Just let go of control and sit back and let it drive you.
Well, I don't know.
Problem is that I actually think I'm a pretty good driver, but everyone does think they're a good driver, but not everyone is a good driver. There are a lot of terrible people out there.
I'm a decent driver, but I hate city traffic.
Like, the self-driving car is for terrible drivers, not for good drivers.
Even then, if I can have a car drive me around and lower my insurance rates because A, I'm a guy, and B, I'm in my low 20s, which means that my insurance is really high compared to a girl anyway. But
someone who's like 70.
Yeah, or compared to someone who's 70. But if I can have that perk, plus be able to do whatever the heck I want to do in the car anyway, like I could like sit back, read a book, read through or do some homework or whatever, that'd be pretty awesome. But I don't know. Just the thought of having to just sit there in the driver's seat but not do anything, it's just really disconcerting. Oh, it's like whenever I put my feet on these cords, it does that. I'm sorry. It's not even on my other computer. It's on my... That's got to be it because that's when you... got me last time. I was just stretching out and I had my feet over on these other cords, so that's probably the problem.
Yeah.
Do it again just to be sure.
Yep.
Yep, there we go.
So, make me uncomfortable then. I'll just go over here. I'll lean back right here. There you go.
But yeah, okay. I don't know. Like, even just as a passenger, sometimes it is rather concerning when you get people treating a highway just like a major road inside the city at 120 kilometers an hour.
People drive 120 kilometers an hour in the city?
Well, no. Like, I mean, like, the same car distances apart, you know?
70.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so, like, only one car length, then. When yeah, you're going 100 kilometers an hour. Yeah, that's not too good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Highway 2.
And what's that in miles?
It's, 70? 120 is, yeah, it's around 70. 100, it works out to about 60, so.
Okay. I know that 80 is 50 and 50 is 30, right?
You could use the Google and just have it.
Yeah. Alrighty, so that's that one story. What's next, Paul?
4.56. Next story I have is 802.22 Wi-Fi standard offers 12,000 square mile coverage. So right now, the Wi-Fi standard we use is 802.11n is the best one we have, I believe, which is at least for residential areas, residential use. And so you have your router sitting in your basement or wherever you have it, or your cable modem or your DSL modem or whatever, what have you, pops in. And that has a 150-foot or so max range, whereas the new one will have, 62-mile radius from one base station. So you can be at your house using a Wi-Fi signal from 62 miles away with 22 meg down, and I don't know if it gave up, 22 meg down. That's really good. They were talking about having...
Now, are they just getting this down on paper, or is it finalized?
Right now. It's just a standardized thing. It's not anything that's put out. We probably won't see this for several years.
I'd like to get a hold of that, because...
Well, I don't know about...
If you do that, you totally negate the need for a cell phone data plan.
But this is, yeah, like, analog TV kind of...
This takes up the analog, at least in the United States, this is our analog television spectrum. I don't know... Have you gone to full digital
Canada? We're outlawing analog TV on August 31st of this month. No.
Oh, it's not until
August 31st of this month. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. Wow. So you'll probably, I don't know if you have the, I know we could get Canadian signals at the cabin, so I assume it's the same spectrum. So I'm guessing that this would also apply for Canada and anywhere else that uses the same spectrum. So that's good.
That's pretty neat.
What are you guys doing in New Zealand? Are you guys all digital there now for signals and whatnot?
I think it's about 2013 or something. It's either 2013 or whenever we reach 75% or something of, you know, digital as opposed to analog, and then they'll cut it off. I don't know.
Makes sense, okay. I suppose.
Whichever happens first.
Randomly convert people.
But this would...
Yeah.
This thing would totally negate the need for cell phone data plans, providing you're in the area of your city.
Screw the companies.
Well, you'd be paying somebody else, technically. I mean, depending on... I don't know if this will be residential at first, not residential, consumer-based at first, or if it'll be more of a ISP-level standard. I don't know. 64 miles or 62-mile radius seems like something you wouldn't be able to necessarily do from a little... box in your basement or your box anywhere in your house. It seems like you might need some actual power to put that much out. Yeah. But
some people would be...
That's good.
Wouldn't some people be kind of... wouldn't some people take kind of a... what's the word I'm looking for?
A tinfoil hat approach?
Yes, that's right.
But it's not going to be any different
than
analog television, and we've had that since the 30s, whenever television came out.
But it's Wi-Fi.
It's the same signal, though. It's in the same range, 54 megahertz to 698 megahertz.
But people would hear Wi-Fi spectrum, and they'd get no scared. Difference.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be. It's the same spectrum. I know you know this, everyone, but it's the same spectrum. There's no difference. As long as the actual base station isn't, like, super powerful. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does anybody know what the microwave, what spectrum microwaves operate in?
That's what higher frequency.
Like, what's
their... No, that's, isn't that in the 2.4 gigahertz range? Because I know if you have a microwave, you
right.
can disrupt.
Right. Yeah, back when we had our old router one day when we were doing
the
shows.
No, so that's not it, sorry. Anywhere between 1 to 170 gigahertz.
Okay. Wow.
Depending on how powerful it is.
Yeah, and that would be quite concentrated, I guess. I don't understand, but...
And I was trying to figure out what exactly is 12,000 square miles. The Qatar is almost 12,000 square miles. Jamaica's about 11,000. Lebanon's about 10,500.
You could have one of these. I mean, supposing you had enough bandwidth connections available.
Yeah.
You could have one base station for the entire country.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Well, no,
because
it's only 22 megabits per second down.
I know, but...
Well,
that's going to be shared between a lot of people. So 1 million people splitting 22 meg, that's going to be pretty slow. But
Well, for example, Finland would be about 340,000 square miles, and that's one of the more industrialized or more internet use, you know, some.
They've got fiber there. Why would you go to wireless?
Yeah. Well.
Anyways.
Canada's
good. I want one.
$20 a month for 1 gig down. Hate you guys.
You know, of course, Canada's 10 million square miles. United States, 9.6 million. Where is New Zealand? Must be down there somewhere. No, it's not as big as us. That's for sure. Oh. 270,000. That's pretty good. You're 70.
Sounds about right.
Out of 236.
Mm.
Not bad.
Oh,
that was Australian. Alrighty, last tech story. This one's scary.
This one's scary. As with many things from Black Hat Conference, Charlie Miller, who has been the guy who's been hacking. He's been winning at the Pwn to Own contest with Safari exploits. He has come up with another... Sorry about the touching. Anyway, I don't know if it made sense. Anyway, so... Anyway, Charlie Miller likes to mess with Macs, and what he determined this time was that Apple has a password on every single battery pack they've had since... I'm not sure if there's the... time frame, but it's been a while, and this firmware in the batteries controls pretty much everything related to power. So by getting in, he reverse engineered a patch several years back that I think, Shane, you had an issue with your battery, right?
Yeah,
old MacBook.
Yeah, it was and it was this it wouldn't charge anymore because it just got down to it just went, like, randomly jumped around from battery percentages and became totally useless.
So was that ended up fixing... Did that get fixed by this firmware upgrade or
no,
not?
The patch didn't... I don't know. They gave me a new battery before I had a chance to look at it.
Alright, because the patch basically would make it so that if your battery went from, say, 50% down to 0% in 30 seconds, that could just be a firmware glitch that was plaguing a lot of people, and
that's what it did.
Yep, that could have been a firmware glitch that they did end up fixing. But at any rate, Charlie Miller went back, found that patch, found this one password that's on every single Mac, Beast Portable and exploited it. So he could actually run code from your battery, which means that you could completely reinstall your operating system. You could take out the hard drive, replace it with a new hard drive, completely reinstall the operating system, and your battery could reinfect you. That is scary, especially because now you can't even replace your battery in the new Macs. You can't do anything. He hypothesized that you could use it to shut down any controlling features of the battery and make it overheat and just keep charging until it explodes. Although that may not actually be possible. He only postulated that could be done. It's a terrible thing. There's actually some tools out there that will let you randomize the password, which for majority of people probably wouldn't hurt. There's probably no reason you ever need to use that password. And Apple will likely, unless you need to update the firmware on your battery, which is probably not very likely, probably something you wouldn't be harmed by using.
Are you shaking right now, Brad?
What? I don't even care. Shaking? I could care less if my MacBook got hacked into right now.
Okay.
Or if it blew up in your face. I think that would be something you'd care about, something, though.
Perhaps, but apparently he fell short of being able to actually make one explode. So.
Doesn't mean that he won't in the future. Just needs some time.
Fortunately, I'm over on a little island here, sort of quarantined, basically, from the rest of the world.
But the internet knows no bounds, unless you're in China, but that's different story.
And you're definitely not Madagascar.
Shut down everything.
I hope Apple would do something about this, but it really doesn't seem like a realistic problem that could happen. But you know, there's been stranger things that were thought not to be problems but were exploited, like that thing in Windows XP that let anybody send a message and have it display on any Windows computer. I don't know if Chief remembers that, or you, Paul, from way
Windows
back
computer?
In 2002. On any Windows XP computer. You can send it.
2002?
Don't recall that one.
Using the netsend command. Basically, when Windows XP... Right. Yeah, or if it was an unprotected over the internet, you could do it without a firewall. Basically, what you could do is on any Windows XP computer... prior to Service Pack 1, is there was a command called netsend, and you could use that to send messages to any computer that you wanted. Yes, local networks, but even over the internet. People would use this for advertising and just spam advertisements to a range of IP addresses. So sometimes you'd come back to your computer and you'd have 20 of these little messenger windows up, and it would have like ads to websites and whatnot on it. So it's something that was patched in Service Pack 1 and was a major problem that nobody thought would be a problem in Windows XP.
Hmm. I remember using those little the netsend commands in on Windows. I don't know if it was netsend or something else, but we'd always do that in school. You could talk to anybody. Then they patched it and you couldn't do
that.
But...
Yeah, that's what this problem was.
Good times.
Yep, so that could be kind of the same thing, but who knows? Anyways, that's it for tech news, unless these two other two have any stories they want to submit.
No, I'm happy. I've just been having fun reading the article.
Yeah.
There's probably more stuff out of Black Hat, so be warned, people, but that was the one I picked. So,
what is the conference all about, anyhow, for the layman?
Black hacking? Hat and hacking in general, usually for nefarious purposes.
Yeah, a few years ago, there was something with Bluetooth, and somebody was able to steal all the contact information off of some certain model of phone for anybody who was in the audience of this talk that had Bluetooth on. So
they had a good one this year, which I thought about adding, but this one was probably more relatable to. People that would listen to the show, but the one I skipped was the someone hooked up a it was either a remote control airplane or helicopter with pretty much the ultimate drive-by Wi-Fi cracking suite. So it could hack weak Wi-Fi signals. It could imitate a GSM tower to intercept calls. This thing was amazing, but I didn't think that would relate too much to other people. It's more of a awesome, look what we can do type of thing than a, oh, we're going to hack your Mac type dealy.
With a remote control airplane.
Yeah.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Black Hat always turns out some interesting projects, even if some of them are very
black.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's time for Skill of the Month update. Chief, you want to handle that for this first week of August?
Scottum.
Okie doke. Just have to wait for my internet. Oh, wow, that was quick. No, we don't. So, it's the Dungeoneering Skill of the Month. And X-Blades is currently in the lead. He's got 5 million XP gained, and he started with 71 million XP, so... it's not really a fair game, I guess, but... In second place is Bonsai with 3 million XP, so he's not that far behind. But then it goes down to Risei with 1.6, RS Gamer with 1.4, and it's a pretty close race between a few of them. Dog Lover, Sorensen, 57. And then it drops down a bit. But good work, X-Blades. I cannot even fathom the amount of experience you must be gaining right now. 1 million average per day.
Pat, you want to say what you just said in text?
Sure. Dungeoneering skill of the month?
Yeah.
But congratulations to everyone who's gotten XP so far. I mean, 15,600,000 is quite a bit. And everyone seems to be still getting XP, even though there's already six with over 1 million, so... That's pretty good, I'd have to say, for the first week. Considering there's only two that actually got over 1 million at all last month for agility, I think that's pretty good.
And speaking of last month's agility skill of the month...
Congratulations to SXE Ketchup for winning.
Sexy Ketchup.
Oh, just say that sexy just like we say X-E.
Okay. So you're Shane, you're encouraging me to say sexy ketchup?
No, it's just SXE. It's not the actual word. So that's okay.
Okay.
It's no. Just but
anyhow, he narrowly beat him to win the month, so congratulations to you and congratulations to everyone who competed. And that reminds me of our monthly roundup, so go read that if you haven't done so yet. It should be on the main page. I'm doing a lot of plugging.
I had to write.
Yes, you had to write that.
I had to write.
Because I had no internet for a week. First world problems. Well, on and off for a week. The ISP was having network problems. I wouldn't be surprised if it was something more than that, but who knows.
You gotta switch to Shaw.
You have options.
Anyways, that's it for Skill of the Month, really.
Shane, by the way, what is HPFPTYOSU?
That's a typo.
Tiosu.
I just say go for it.
Yep. Which relates to the pick of the week.
You're buzzing again, Paul.
Huh?
You're buzzing again.
I am? I'm not even touching anything this time. I guess I'm electric. Aw, yeah. Yeah. Change is crazy. So, the pick that I'm picking this week is the Humble Indie Bundle number 3. This time, they've got 5 games, which is Crayon Physics Deluxe, Cogs, VVVVVVVV, I think I put in one or two extra on there, Hammerflight, and Yet It Moves. All of these games are activated on Steam, Desura, and you can download them just from the site or BitTorrent. And then they threw in another two games called Steel Storm and Atom Zombie Smasher. And that's if you pay anywhere, which is currently from 1 cent to $5.64. And if you pay $5.65 or more, you get the Humble Indie Bundle 2 as well, along with their Steam and Desura activation codes.
Wow.
You get the 7 games from the Humble Indie Bundle 3, along with the 5 games, which are Braid, Cortex Command, Machinarium, whatever, and Osmos and Revenge of the Titans. And so that's...
Oh, I got Osmos for the iPad.
Yeah, I've got it for the iPad, and I've got it for my computer as well. And I actually gave it to my sister, and she actually likes to play it. So that's if you pay $5.65 or more, which is the current average. And if you buy... And this ends in 2 days as of recording, so just let you know. But you also get a Humble Minecraft code, which is... gives you full Minecraft access for the next week as of today till August 14th. You get
I still don't get the point of Minecraft.
Yeah, you got to watch some videos and then you just have to start playing. I never got the point of it at all. I saw it, I just laughed, and then I started watching some YouTube videos and I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. And then there was the I gave it a try when they had a week that it was down. Like, the login servers were completely offline, so Notch, which is the main developer, just said, okay, everyone have at it. Everyone can just play. And I played it for... It was like a week it was down. It was just the website was terrible at that point. And I ended up paying the 10 euro or whatever the heck it was. It was like 13 bucks for alpha access. And right now it's in beta, which is 25% off, and which is 20 euro, I think it is. No, 15 euro, which works out to be about $22 United States or Canadian, I suppose. And when it's full price, it'll be 20 euro, which will probably be, what, $25-$30?
Wait, we're talking about Minecraft now?
That's for Minecraft, because you get the special
thing.
it's worth... I don't know if it's $30 good, but it's given me a lot of... entertainment value. So, plus you add in the mods, and it's crazy. If you want to just get into some Minecraft goodness, watch stuff from the Yogscast, which is youtube.com/bluexeos. I'll put a link. It's good.
So the pick is Humble Indie Bundle
number 3.
3.
Yep.
Okay.
At humblebundle.com. So there you go.
Alrighty then. On to Achievements of the Week, which only occurred on July 31st. I'll let you three take this. So, Chief, why don't you start with the first one?
Hold on, what am I reading? Oh, Achievements of the Week. Okay. First of all, the RR Man got 99 defense on the 31st of July 2011. Congratulations.
And X-Blades got 99 cooking and runecrafting on, also on July 31st. Congratulations to you, too.
It's a popular time.
Mm-hmm. Harry Potter's birthday.
What? How do you... Is that really... Is that, like, in the series or the actual actor's birthday?
Well, no, the series birthday.
Don't be stupid, Shane.
Yes. That's the second time now, you friend. You've missed out on one.
What?
You need to stop
missed out on what? On.
You need to start reading those books. Anyhow.
Alrighty. Congratulations to the three of you, X-Blades and RRMan100, which is Real Robots, as he told us last week. Ain't that right?
Yes. Congratulations to the three of you, indeed.
Yay!
Three of them? There's only two of them.
Exactly.
Oh, I mean the three achievements.
Yeah, good work, Shane. What have we been doing? It's getting late.
Yeah, let's let Paul go first so he can go to bed.
I have to have a computer built for a class that will be meeting next Saturday for our last meeting. Actually, first in-person meeting, but at any rate, so I built my computer ahead of time. So I actually have a nice computer now, for the money anyway. And I've got to build my dad's computer for the class. So I've got that all set up, and I'm just finishing up my summer classes, and I'll have several weeks off, where I'll be splitting wood, which will be fantastic.
Splitting wood?
Yes, splitting, stacking, bringing it in, getting it ready for winter. You know, the fun stuff.
Yep. Do you guys still use wood for heating?
Yeah, it's really efficient.
Who doesn't?
It's a lot cheaper, too. And it's renewable. So, yeah, stick that in your pipe and smoke it, as it were.
Stick that in your stove and smoke it.
Exactly. So that's what I've been doing and will be doing for the next couple weeks. Oh, and dating. Dating's been good. Yep. Yeah. So, what's other people been doing? What have other people been doing? It's getting late, I'm sorry.
Cully, you want to go next?
Sure. Well, haven't been doing too much. Been working a lot recently, actually, making money, which is also good.
Making money.
Very good. Want to doubly confirm that the audio clip that Shane played at the end of last week's episode was indeed real. And that was pretty fun, I'd have to say. And
you even got to meet some hockey stars.
Yes, they were in town for a charity, which was pretty cool, so we got to see them.
That's cool.
I had no idea who they were, but you figured it out.
I knew who they were on site. Had to do my duty as a Canadian, of course.
Someone's a good Canadian, yeah.
But other than that, not too much has happened. It's been pretty cool, though. It's been a nice summer so far, I think.
That's good.
Okay. Anything else? Anything else, Colin?
Nope. No, I don't think I have anything else. I'll think of it when other people are talking, I'm sure.
It's the way I do it best.
Alrighty. Chief.
I went to a wedding last weekend. That was good fun. That's about all.
Was it your wedding?
Much else. No.
Yeah.
No, not quite yet, Shane. Yes, I don't know. Have I done anything else this week? I got album art working and the remote control I made for myself. That's on my blog. That's about it. Yeah, that's everything I've done.
Tell us about the remote control.
Well, I had nothing better to do, so I made myself a remote control for my Android phone to control my music player on Linux, because no one's ever done that before. And it's very cool.
That sounds really
cool.
On iOS, we have an
application called remote where we can actually control any iTunes in Wi-Fi range if we have access.
Right. Yes. Well, I mean, it's all been done before with iTunes, clearly, but it hasn't with this.
Yeah,
right now
Continue. I was just going to say, right now I can see what my sister's computer is playing upstairs.
Oh, okay. Creep.
Justin Bieber.
Anything good? Does she have good taste in music?
No, she doesn't.
Yes.
Well, better taste in music than Shane, who doesn't have taste in music.
Okay. If I just restart my Apache server, it might work. because right now it's telling me fatal error. But at least it didn't crash. That's a good thing. Okay,
yeah.
I suck with Java. Okay, now it's working.
No kernel panics. That's probably a good thing.
Let's try Elmart. That's beautiful. This is a magical moment for me. I'm sorry that you can't hear it if I go to play it, because it'll just come through my headset. But I could actually demonstrate that it's working. But you're just going to have to take my word for it, since no one else can use it, because it's built for something that no one actually has.
So did you put it in the market like Paul asked, or?
No. I would not. I didn't hear
you
that.
Could.
Potentially, I could, but because it uses like a PHP script for the server, it wouldn't really work at the moment. I mean, it would be possible. I could do that in future, but yeah, again, I mean, it's for a Linux application, let alone a Linux application that no one else uses. So
when you get that niche group of people that want to have it done,
yeah,
you'll be the guy they go to, though. You'll be happy.
Hell yes.
You can make some real money off of it.
Whole 50 cents. Yep.
See, that's what computer science students do at their free time. They write applications that nobody else uses.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. No, I
yeah, and that's the, and that's the whole fun beside it. You just write it because you want to write it, and you use it for what you use it. Then when you're done, you throw it out.
I guess. I don't really throw it out, but it does come in handy living in a place with lots of different people around, so when I just, you know, leave my room to go to the toilet and forget to lock my computer, and someone else rushes in to try and Facebook rape me, and I realize, then I can just open up my remote control and lock my computer while I'm not in the room. It's brilliant.
Say change it to a change it to Rickroll, or just change it to a fire alarm going off. Or really high pitched. If you get it, a really high pitched fire
alarm.
I got
a better idea.
Huh.
I got a better idea. Strap some C4 onto your desk and have it.
It's a little destructive.
Blow up my computer.
Or whoever's trying to get it, which is probably a friend or family.
Chain solution everything. Kill everyone.
Would you miss Rick, Brad,
things.
If that were to happen?
Sorry?
Would you miss Rick if that were to happen, since he's the one that normally does that?
Yes, Rick's a good person.
Okay. Well, then just do Paul's thing, then.
Or you could do what Sheldon does on The Big Bang Theory, just redirect them to a video of the person of you chastising them severely in person on the internet.
See,
that sounds really cool.
You know, I don't know if I could do that with OS X.
Why not?
Maybe with AppleScript.
You could with AppleScript.
Well,
you can. I literally have tried it.
Oh, okay.
Because when I was first evaluating like the possibility of this, I thought, well, I could do it on my Mac too, but I don't need to because I already have an Apple remote. So
you have an Apple remote?
Yeah, I got a remote with my MacBook. Did you not? Cost
really?
Like $30 extra.
No. No, I didn't.
Why not?
I didn't pay the $30 for one because I didn't see the point.
They're good
but
for
it's
presentations
so handy.
Too.
Yeah.
So at my
well, I got one. I got one when we got the Apple TV. So.
Oh. Okay.
It makes for good fun too because it works across the room, and there's a Mac Mini across the room, and there's a glass picture. So sitting in front of the TV, you can control the Apple TV and control the volume on the other computer. But, anyways, is there anything else that you want to share?
No, that's about
it. We kind of went off topic there, didn't we?
Don't we always?
A little.
It's all right.
Yeah.
What would you like to share, Shane?
Well, this week I was away again from Tuesday through Thursday up in the Great Canadian Rockies, somewhere everybody should go and visit if you have the chance. Even if you're from New Zealand or one of the states in the U.S. So, definitely
should do
that. I'll
second that sentiment.
Yeah.
It is a fantastic place.
You've been
to go,
there.
Just to be, yeah, just okay. To be dwarfed by the enormous size of these mountain ranges. It's just crazy.
I don't want to be a dwarf.
Breathtaking views, that's for sure.
Get dwarfed by them. I mean, you see totally unrealistic blue water and everything that doesn't look real. I showed a picture to Brad of it, and you know, you said it doesn't look real, right?
Yes, I did.
So, exactly. It's something everybody should visit if you're coming to Canada. Come through Alberta, head through BC. So those are the two best places in Canada that you want to come visit. Wild Rose Country and beautiful British Columbia.
Yes.
Aside from that, this week I've done some coding. I am, by the time you're listening to this, it should be released, but I am finally releasing Project Purple, which is known as the new Daily Bits. So head on over to shane.rsbnb.com and have a look-see to see what that's all about. It's basically an aggregator of all my feeds and everything. And I took a page from Chief's book here, and he coded it myself, when it really could have just been a WordPress extension. But, you know, WordPress is so heavy, it didn't make sense to use the full WordPress for something so simple.
Yep.
So, you also helped on the design, too, at various stages. You took my...
Not really. I may have critiqued from time to time.
Yeah, you took my little thing and made it more modern in terms of colors and whatnot.
That was like at the very beginning. That was like last year.
Yeah, that's how long I've been working on this. So, and then aside from that, I just... Yeah, it is amazing. So,
always good.
Shane.rsbnb.com.
Cool.
I think that's about it then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sounds
so,
good.
With that being said, this has been RSBNB Update, episode 320. With
I just saw your cursor.
Paul?
Hi. Bye.
I know you saw that, Shane.
King Kala.
See you guys later. Have a good week, guys.
Chief Snake.
See you later.
And myself.
I myself.